The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Covenants are bloody things. In the language of the Old Testament, to make a covenant was literally to cut a covenant. We're given an example of this in Genesis 15. The Lord instructed Abram to bring a heifer, a female goat, a ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Abram brought the Lord all these, cut them in half, and laid each half on the ground opposite the other. The only exception to this was the birds that remained whole, one on one side, one on the other. As the sun was going down, the Lord caused a deep sleep to come upon Abram. He repeated his promises to Abram. And then a smoking firepot and a flaming torch passed between these two pieces on each side. By this action, the Lord was symbolically saying, "May I experience the same end as these animals, should I fail to fulfill my covenant promises." That's how covenants were made. The odd thing in this case is that Abraham didn't make any obligation. It was only the Lord who had an obligation and passed between the halved animals. Covenants are bloody things. When the Lord had delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, he led them to Mount Sinai. There he made a covenant with them, saying, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me." When the Lord was finished speaking, Moses came and told all the people the words of the Lord and all the rules. And all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words that the Lord has spoken, we will do." Oxen were then sacrificed to the Lord. Half of their blood Moses took and threw against the altar. The other half he threw on the people and said to them, "Behold the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." The blood of the covenant on the Lord's altar and on the people bound them together. They were his people, and he was their God. He would be faithful to them, and they would be obedient to him.
except that they weren't. The Lord was faithful to his covenant, but the people did not live up to their covenant obligations. They were not obedient. Again and again, they rebelled against the Lord. They didn't trust him to provide food and water for them. They complained and whined. They were ungrateful and rebellious. The Lord had every reason to destroy them all and start over from scratch. But Moses interceded on behalf of the people, and the Lord had mercy on them. He would not destroy the people, and in time would establish a new covenant. In time. Nearly 1,000 years after the first covenant at Mount Sinai, through his prophet Jeremiah, the Lord declared, "Behold, the days are coming when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant I made with their fathers, on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." A new covenant was coming, a covenant characterized by forgiveness. 600 or so more years, and Jesus took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant. The new covenant in my blood." Finally, on this night, God was fulfilling his promise. In his son Jesus, he was establishing the new covenant he had promised. Reference to the Gospels of Matthew and Luke explain more fully. "This cup," Jesus says, "is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins." Covenants, as I said, are bloody things. This one perhaps most of all, for without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Covenants require blood. Forgiveness also requires blood. So on the night in which he would be handed over, Jesus established a new covenant, a covenant of forgiveness. Forgiveness that he sealed in his blood. Like the blood of the Passover lamb, which when painted on the doorposts and on the lintel of the houses, preserved the children of Israel in Egypt from the angel of death. So also Christ's blood, smeared on the posts of his cross, preserves from eternal death all who gather beneath it. Jesus' blood-smeared cross is our shield and refuge from the wages of sin. More than that, though, with the cup, Jesus gives a new covenant in his blood, blood which cleanses from the inside out all who receive it in faith, stronger than any bleach or laundry stain remover. His blood takes on even the worst stains of sin and dissolves them to nothing. Jesus' blood, which he gives in the holy meal, goes right to the heart of the matter. Your sinful heart, out of which come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander, and more. His blood poured down your throat cleanses your heart from evil, makes it pure and holy. So effective is his blood received in faith that in the discerning eyes of the eternal judge, ultimately the only eyes that count, not even the shadow of a spot remains. His verdict on those who have found refuge in Jesus' covenantal blood is spotless, clean, perfect. All who take their place at this meal of the new covenant, all who eat his body which he gives in and with the bread, who eat remembering and trusting in his death for them, all who drink his blood of the new covenant, which he pours into their mouths in and with the wine, who drink remembering and trusting in the blood he shed for them. All of these have the blessings he died to bring. When you come to this Holy Supper, you receive gifts of the new covenant. Your sins are forgiven. Though they may be like scarlet, they become as white as snow. You receive eternal life. You will not come into judgment, but have passed from death to life. You are obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Come then, receive his body, which he handed over into death for you. Drink the new covenant of his blood, shed for you, for the forgiveness of all your sins. In Jesus' name. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.